Gabe, can I get you to throw up the slide thing for me? I saved it on the desktop. Guys, I outsmarted the wireless mic this week. I found a dress that has pockets. It's been quite a feat trying to pick appropriate clothing for Sunday mornings that has a pocket scenario for this mic, because they don't make girls' clothes for that. And when we were in the States, I found this dress and I was like, oh, it will hold the microphone. It's amazing. Okay, more to the point. What would you say if I told you that you could have Thanksgiving every day? Yeehaw. I was telling the kids on the way here, I was trying to find a clip for you, which is actually where the conversation about Owen came up, explaining the differences of American and Canadian Thanksgiving, like beyond just what people eat, but the differences of why, what is. And I couldn't find one that was appropriate, but in one of them, I had a good laugh because they said that, as they were drawing comparisons, the average American gains 5 pounds when they eat their Thanksgiving dinner in November. As opposed to the average Canadian who gains only 2 pounds when they eat their Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, Gabe was like, we're just not eating enough. That's the problem. We're not, I vote more pie, but yeah. So it was a very, very interesting, because even in Canadian culture, mostly people only teach on American Thanksgiving traditions, but we actually have our own, which is pretty cool. I won't go into them this morning, but I highly suggest for those of you who Google, you Google it, YouTube it, there are some funny videos. But yeah, Thanksgiving every day. So I tried to find a picture of a like normal family doing Thanksgiving, and it really was getting difficult. So I thought I would go with some of my favorites. Here's the thing. How many of you, by show of hands, love Thanksgiving? Okay. Because we are small in number, we have some luxuries. I want you to shout out some of the things that you love about Thanksgiving. Family. Stuffing, pie, family, temperature, fall, cooking, tea, Jackson, children, noise. Mary, if you want noise, just come to my house. I will make you tea and I will give you noise. Gathering. Anything else? Family. Being thankful. There is something about a Thanksgiving dinner. I'm sorry, I'm eating my hair. I grew up, my mom and dad are both the youngest of 7 siblings. So when we would do Christmas and Thanksgiving functions, they were not small. I don't even know, like when Oma and Opa passed away and they were writing the obituary for the newspaper, I think they lost count at like 29 grandchildren. It was ridiculous. So picture Christmas, Thanksgiving like that. But I don't know about you, but in my family, there was always a different atmosphere at the Thanksgiving get-together from the Christmas get-together. Does anyone else's family the same? Yeah. So the thing is that you get together with people you love, but there is a way that people, I guess, for lack of another word, carry themselves at Thanksgiving. Does that make sense? There's a peacefulness about it. There's a calm. There's an appreciation. There's a gratitude. There's just an atmospheric shift around Thanksgiving from Christmas or Easter, even if it's the same mix of people. Now, then there's the rest of us. Looking forward to seeing you this Thanksgiving and pretending our family isn't entirely dysfunctional. How many of you have noticed that the first couple hours of your family get-together are beautiful, right? Everyone's smiling and cheery and loving each other. But get like the families who start getting together at 1 o'clock and they're going to have dinner, and you've had dinner and you've had dessert and now it's like 8 o'clock. The real sides of people starts to show, don't they? What starts happening in our real families the longer we're together? Fighting. I'm coming to Sylvia's family Thanksgiving. She says they don't have fighting. She looks stumped by that one. Do it separately. The longer my family Thanksgivings and Christmases go on, my family tends to drink a little bit. So inevitably, conversation can become a little bit more free. We'll go with free. And so sometimes topics come up that are a little bit not appropriate. And by a little bit, I'm talking a little bit. And I have one aunt who, the more she drinks, she likes to take people's watches. I don't know why, but she has watches up to here. And then you have, like, the people who, they're able for a couple hours to act like life is good, right? Like, they keep on a smile, and they answer the socially appropriate questions with appropriate answers, right? How's life? Oh, it's good. It's really good. How's your job? Oh, good. Job's good. How are the kids? Good. Really, really good. They're growing. But by the time you're, like, 5 hours in, and the wrong person asks the right question, how's your job? I hate my job. I hate the people I work with. I just can't wait till Friday. I just don't even know what I'm going to do on Wednesday night, right? How are your kids? They're jerks, all of them. They're jerks. They just don't sleep. They don't even go to the bathroom on their own. They're 22, right? Like, come on, my family cannot be the only one here, right? This is what kind of happens the longer that things go on. So I think the reason that we like Thanksgiving is because for one day, everyone can be compassionate, right? For one day, everyone can be compassionate. We can have pity on other people. We can have mercy for them. And so when they're talking about how awful it is that they don't have a vehicle anymore to get around, we can have compassion, even though we know they don't have a vehicle because they were stupid and they didn't use their mirrors and they backed it into the light post at the grocery mart. Right? We can have compassion. We can keep our comments to a minimum, and we just kind of filter them, right? For one day we can do that. For one day we can be kind. We can be gentle to other people. We can be good towards them, even if we don't think they live a life that's deserving of that. For one day, one meal, we're not even talking a whole day mostly, for one meal. For one day, everyone can be humble. For one day, most people cannot toot their own horn. Do you have that family member at your family function? Oh my goodness, my business is going so amazing. We just launched international on like 3 planets. It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm going to be a millionaire by next week. Nobody even knows. I've actually got the Get Smart shoe phone, and that's what I've marketed. And it's really taking off around the world because it's so much easier to carry your phone in your shoe than to find a pocket. Seriously, I have this. How's your jet? Are you having trouble affording fuel for your jet? Because my businesses are doing so well that I actually have to fly myself everywhere. Right? For one day, we can temper that down just a little bit. And our business can just be good, right? We cannot make ourselves look bigger than other people. For one day, we can be gentle. We can be mild to other people and kind and not brazenly opinionated and stuffing it down everybody's throat. One day, one meal, you can do that. For one day, we can be patient. For one day, the kids can run around the house screaming and most of us can hold it together. We'll call it joyous celebration. Just breathe deeply, calmly, throw some board games at them, find a corner in the basement where we can shove them. We can be patient. For one day, we can be patient with people. For one day, we can try and overlook the thing that our adult sibling did to us that they've known better than to do since they were 5 years old. We don't have to talk about it for one day, right? For one day, we can forgive. For one day, we can forgive the things that people have done that are wrong to us, and we can restore a relationship. For one day. Now, I know you think that this is funny, but for real. For one day, we can be loving, actively showing love and contentment towards others. It's okay that you are who you are. I love you. Now, it sounds funny, right? Because these are things that we should be doing, but at the end of the day, those are the things we love about Thanksgiving, aren't they? Somehow we come together for Thanksgiving dinner, and it doesn't matter. Everyone can try and put their best foot forward and do these things. 9 times out of 10, it works. foremost. For one day, most people can set aside idolatry, worshiping something other than God. At Thanksgiving, you will notice that even your family members who don't love Jesus and don't believe in God are thanking God for something. I might be the only one who finds that slightly irritating, but I do. They show up to, God is so good. Yeah, let's all go around the table and say what we're thankful for. You might be the least thankful person I know. Okay, yeah, let's give it a try. What do you got? Right? For one day, most of us can thank God. For one day, most of us can stop living in anger. An agitation or impulse or desire or any violent emotion. For one day, maybe you don't have an anger issue. Maybe this isn't speaking to you. But for one day, most of us can set that aside and not function that way. For one day, most of us cannot be filled with rage. Have you ever met a rageful person? If you haven't, be thankful, because it's a very scary event and you just want to hide for cover. For one day, even the most rage-filled person can generally set it aside. The clicker is... For one day, most people cannot have ill will towards other people. For one day. For one day, we can want good for everybody, right? For one day, we could not slander people. We cannot speak harmfully about them. For one day. For one day, most could set aside offensive and sensually vile speech. This is the stuff that makes Thanksgiving dinner good, right? These are the things that people complain about on Facebook and want to get off of it for. All of these things, right? But for one day, somehow, people set them aside and come together around a turkey, and it's not present, and it's peaceful, and it's calm. For one day, most people cannot lie, not intentionally speak something that is not true. I like Thanksgiving because everyone puts their best foot forward. That's what makes Thanksgiving peaceful, right? It's everyone getting together with a heart that's thanking God for things, even if they don't believe in him, and setting aside all of the things that we struggle with in the world that are unenjoyable. The problem becomes when you know, and the longer you are in that person's presence, you know it's not authentic. You know it's not authentic. Now, maybe if you have grown up in like a very Christian family your whole life, that might not be an element of your family Thanksgiving. And for that, you can thank God. You can be thankful today. Because for the rest of us, there's this thing that can happen at about hour 5 of the family get-together where you're watching these people package themselves a certain way that's very gentle and kind and patient and peaceful or whatever else, but you know the phone call you had with them yesterday. You know the Facebook post you saw. You know the things that they're thinking deep down inside because they texted them to you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, Tim. but I texted Tim last night thinking his phone would be off while I was up in the middle of the night praying, and it wasn't. Side note, he was asleep and was not asleep once I sent the message. But so this becomes kind of the duality of these family get-togethers, doesn't it? We love Thanksgiving because it's peaceful and it's calm and it's enjoyable and we get to see the good in people. We get to see the good in the world around us, right? So yesterday was the Harvest Festival downtown Newcastle. And so you see all of these people from all different walks of life. Some of them have lived here their whole lives. Some are new. Some are just visiting, and they're mixing and mingling, and they're wishing each other a happy Thanksgiving, and they're being kind and generous to each other, and, you know, trusting that the lady who's collecting money for the dogs who need to be rehomed isn't actually pocketing it after we all leave the table. That wasn't a thought in anyone's mind. Why? Because for one day, we can set it aside. The thing is, though, that I think is the reason we love Thanksgiving is because I think that this one day shows God's heartbeat for his people. All of the things that we can show for one meal is God's best plan for us as his people in relationship with each other all the time. That's why Thanksgiving is pretty special. That's why we look forward to those Thanksgiving meals. That's why we have those good memories about them, and we just get warm and fuzzies and we can see the difference. Because those things that we can all do for one day are actually things that God has commanded us to be. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Let me give you a minute to flip there. Colossians chapter 3, New Testament. I'm going to get a drink while you do that. Verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways of life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. The lists that I shared for one day, if you were paying attention, were actually those scriptures. The reason that I say that I think it's God's heartbeat for his people is because he tells us to put those things on, just like we put on clothing. To set aside those other things. So what is the difference? What is the difference as to why we can do it for one day, for one meal, even if we don't love God, even if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Why can we all do that for one day, but struggle as a way of life, or struggle past that mark? I don't know. I just ask random questions. And then I pray that God answers them. But when I was reading through this, there was something that jumped out at me as the thing that changes things. And if you look at we'll go to 9. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self. Okay, so that first list of things, the second list of things we talked about, the anger, malice, rage, all of those things, that is the old self. But you've put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. The reason that we are to be able to do those things longer term is because of this renewing that happens in knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. God's heart is that those things that we love about that Thanksgiving dinner, those characteristics, those personality traits, those core elements, that those would be the things as believers that we would put on daily and walk in. We get one meal that's almost this snapshot Polaroid of, hey, this is what it could look like, guys. This is what it could be. How great would it be if every day felt like that? I think I might need new batteries. When I was trying to think of renewing something, I immediately went to a childhood memory. I grew up on a very run-down farm. But we had this, I'll call it a storage shed. It was like, it used to be the drive shed, where you would put the machinery in to kind of keep it out of the elements. The problem was that it was very disrepaired. So even when I left home at 16, it was on a very significant angle. But my favorite thing to do as a kid was to climb up in the loft of this building that held no safety at all. And up there, there were all of these antique pieces of furniture that had gone to die that someone had forgotten about. I don't know why. I thought they were beautiful. They were the most bizarre colors of paint I've ever seen. Like, I don't know really who wants a mint green temporary island for their kitchen, but it was a thing. But they were beautiful, and there was character to them, and there was, I don't know why. I could just always see so much life. I always had in my head that if I had the opportunity, once I was an adult, to come back, should the shed still be standing, and rescue these items from the shed, I just thought it would be amazing to restore them and renew them to a new purpose. To be able to put them in my home and see them function with the intent or a new intent so that they weren't just hiding away in all of their faded glory in this shed that was going to fall apart. So when I think of something being renewed, I think of antiques. So on the left here, you can see this dresser that someone has found this way. It's all moldy and not looking very amazing. And they have refinished it, and it now has doors on both sides. It looks great. And you would put that in your house, right? You wouldn't put the first one in your house, though, would you? Anybody? You'd put the first one in your house, Sylvia? Yeah, and then you'd do that. You wouldn't put it in your house unless the plan was to renew it, right? That's it. So when we are looking at who Christ wants us to be, we're looking at this process of renewal, of becoming who he wants us to be continually, so that in our state, in this new renewed state, God can do what he desires to do with us. He can use us to glorify him. That is ultimately what is going on. The word renewed is talking about a change into a new kind of life, as opposed to, in the Greek it says, your former corrupt state. I don't know about you, but there's not once that I have ever thought about my life before Jesus and thought, I was a really corrupt person. Not a word I would have thrown at myself, but without Jesus, we all are. We are. It's just that simple. It doesn't matter what kind of bad things you did. It doesn't matter how big they were, how small they were. That's just the end of it. Scripture is very clear. And so in this renewal, all of a sudden we're all made equal. Whether we grew up in church or we didn't grow up in church, whether we have piercings and tattoos or we don't, whether we are pastors or people who sit in the seats. In God, we're all made equal. In God, this renewal happens the same for all of us, and his desire is that we all put on that list that is detailed out there about compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. Cover it all with love, because this is God's plan for us as his people. And if we as his people put these things on, we will create an atmosphere that feels like, to all the people who engage us, Thanksgiving all the time. How cool would that be? I've heard from so many people, I don't want to go to church because they're hypocritical. You know what? They're not wrong. Sometimes they are not wrong. But we got to remember that we're putting on the clothes that reflect what God desires for us to be. And if those other things start showing up, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lies, those are the things we're supposed to be putting off. And you can't put them off without putting something else on. It would be very awkward if all of you decided right now to start putting off your clothing and didn't put on some more. Wouldn't it? We'd all be walking around like this. Yeah, it's time for dinner. It wouldn't be good. Scripture is so clear. Don't take something off without putting something else back on. If you're putting on thankfulness, you're taking off what? What do we think the opposite of thankfulness is? Pop quiz. Greed? Ungratefulness? ingratitude? Do you know that unthankfulness is listed twice in Scripture? Both of them in the lists of like the seven deadly sins kind of stuff. Thankfulness is not a little thing. If we are not being a thankful people, we are living in sin. I had never really thought about that quite as much as I did this week. God is calling us to put on these things and be a thankful people. If you keep reading, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." I like Thanksgiving because it's peaceful. I like the calm of Thanksgiving. I like the fact that most people are doing their best to be considerate of other people and to express what they're thankful for about them, what they're thankful for about their life. And so the same people who can be constantly running around on the regular saying, like, I don't have enough money, or I need to go shopping because I don't have enough clothes, or, you know, I don't get to eat at the high-end restaurants that I like, or whatever. I really think in our culture, we miss this a lot because we are so spoiled with luxuries and provision and finances that other cultures just don't even have. But there's something about living in the peace of Christ that creates thankfulness. The word peace actually translates into a tranquility of the soul found in your assurance of salvation. That is what we get at Thanksgiving. And the assurance comes from understanding the work that Christ did for us on the cross, and God's unending love for us creates the most peaceful element you can imagine. When Pastor Trevor and I had a cottage, I didn't really love the experience because we had very small children, and it was a lot of work for me to get there. But the one thing that I did love was it was on the Ottawa River, and there were loons that would come out in the water in the morning. And so because I didn't sleep a lot, because our kids didn't sleep a lot, I would be up first in the morning, and while the cottage was super quiet, I would make a coffee, and I would sit at this huge bay window, and I would just stare at the water and the loons. It just was peaceful to me. There was something about it that just left me in this place of, I don't even have words for it. That is the kind of peace that we have when we know Christ's rule and reign in our hearts. If we're not experiencing that, then we've got some things we need to get into order and into line, because that's what we have access to Him. And when you get it, be thankful. Scripture tells you, be thankful. In the Message translation, I actually love that very small sentence even more. It says, cultivate thankfulness. Thankfulness is something that you can grow. An attitude of gratitude. You can practice being thankful. And if you don't have anything to start with, I suggest Jesus dying on the cross for your sins is a good beginning. Because that's the ultimate thing that we have to be thankful for. Without Him, where would we be? Without Him. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'm going to ask the worship team if they can kind of take their places behind me. I decided to check out these words because I don't know why Scripture needs to be redundant. Psalms, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Can we not just say sing? Can we not just say sing? That's why we do it, right? But when you look at them, they actually each have their own meaning. So psalms are actually, if I can time this right, they're actually chords on an instrument. It's not actually talking about people singing. When you translate that word in the Greek, it is chords on an instrument. Hymns I like this one, are a tithing song in praise of God. A tithing song in praise of God. And songs of the Spirit are praises that we actually sing verbally to the God that we sing tithing hymns to and play chords on the instruments. When you clothe yourselves in these things and you practice thankfulness, it cannot be found outside of the foot of the cross. It can't. The word thankfulness actually translates to, in the Greek, there's a few different ways you can string the words together, but good grace. The word charis, grace, is stuck right in the middle. The grace of God is the starting point for everything and all that we have as Christians of being thankful for. And that is why, for one meal, we can all become so captivated, because it's a sneak peek, I think, into what God's perfect relationship kind of plan can look like. We can only hold it on for so long, though, because we're humans and we have sin and we have things that we're needing to renew as the process goes on. But whatever you do, with gratitude, with thankfulness, with joy, with goodwill towards others, what's due because of grace in your hearts, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, being grateful and giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what we have to be thankful about. That's what makes this moment so big, I think, because we don't do it enough. We pick one day of the year and we pause and say, let's create intentionality around being thankful. But God is saying, people, be a people of thankfulness all of the time. My people thank me because of grace. My people thank me. My people clothe themselves in clothing that reflects who I desire for them to be. And when they do it, they're thankful because they know that outside of me, it can't happen. So this morning, we are going to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual hymns to the Lord with an attitude of thankfulness. It's not going to be long. I've just asked the worship team, if this is what Thanksgiving is, if this is what God's word says Thanksgiving really is, and it has to involve chords on an instrument, it has to involve a state of our heart that reflects our trust in his provision and in his grace, and singing about his grace back to him, then I would be a little bit remiss as your pastor to not offer you a moment before we leave this morning to be able to worship the Lord in thankfulness before we go home to be with our families. So we're going to sing a song, and you can stand. If you're unable to stand, you may stay sitting. But I want to encourage you, posture your hearts the way that God's word directs us to, because it will change your life. Not just today, not just for Thanksgiving, but if you can do this today and you can go home and you can practice these principles and you can practice thankfulness and you can practice this lifestyle day in and day out and renew yourself to be who Christ desires for us to be, life will become very different for you. So would you stand with us this morning?
It's the last slide, Gabriel. It's the last song. Sorry, I forgot to tell you that.
Great is the thankfulness, O God, my Father. They fail not, as
God, this morning we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for being with us every step of the way. We thank you, God, for salvation. We thank you for your love that does not end for us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the ability to be in relationship with other people who love you and love him. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in a country where we don't have to worry about worshiping you. We don't have to worry about declaring your name. And God, we might have oppressions that we feel, but God, the liberties that we have are so great in you here. And so God, this morning, we thank you for them, but we bring to you, God, the people who are without. We bring to you and we ask you, God, to be with the churches this morning around the world who don't have that freedom, who are hiding as they worship you, God, who are having secret passwords and codes and knocks. God, would you show yourself faithful to them this morning? God, would you bless them abundantly where they are at this morning? God, as we celebrate your faithfulness, God, we beg your spirit to move amongst those people this morning too. God, would you touch them in ways that encourage them to keep going? God, would you draw people who are in need, God, to our hearts and to our minds over the course of this weekend, God, that our thanksgiving would be in light of the foot of the cross and the knowledge that others can understand and have the same spirit of thanksgiving in their hearts too. God, this morning, we just thank you abundantly. We thank you for the ability to worship you. We thank you for the ability to praise you. And we thank you for the ability, God, to gather together week after week after week, experiencing your presence in real and tangible ways. May you help us to never take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, as you get ready to go home to your families, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, my prayer is that you would clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. That you would bear with the people that you encounter this week. That you would forgive whatever grievances you have against those around you. That you would put on over all of that the love that is Christ that will see you through. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving Sunday today with your family or tomorrow whenever you're getting together. Be blessed, and we will see you next week. Thanks for